And all right, the recording has started.
All righty, great. Thanks, Pauline. Good afternoon, everyone. We'll call the meeting to order at this point. Would anybody like to make a motion to adopt the minutes of February 16th, 2021 meeting minutes?
I'll move that, General Sessor.
Thank you, John. Anybody have a second?
I'll second it, Peter. Grace.
Thank you, Grace. All righty. Any changes to the minutes as presented? All righty. Seeing, hearing none. All those in favor of adopting as presented, please say aye.
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 All righty. Anybody in opposed or abstaining?
I'll abstain, Peter. It's Melissa. I was not at the last meeting.
All right. So I reflect Melissa Appleby as abstaining. So, all right. Pauline, could you let me know if there's anyone for public comment at this point in time?
There does not appear to be anyone here for public comment.
All right. We will move on to continued discussion regarding 5G and municipal zoning. We had a good presentation a month ago. And the consensus at that point was at least have it on this agenda to discuss if there's something that we wanted to look at from a regional approach, kind of build off the best or the work that the COG had done. So I can open it up. I don't know, Pauline, if you folks had done any other thinking there. I see Tim is online as well. So I'm going to leave it to you if you guys want to kick it off or you want to open up to discussion.
So we do have Tim Malone on. He's more well-versed in land use and zoning than I am. We just wanted to explore if there was any thoughts or desire to have something that was WestCOG had some model language, but also to see if there was something that we wanted to do on a consistent regional basis, or at least put out as a consistent regional basis of here's what we think towns might want to do on a voluntary level or something.
Yeah. So I'm going to open up. I had a brief conversation with the town planner here in Windsor. He thought it would be worthwhile for a conversation. To his knowledge, there had not been much conversation amongst the planning folks here in CROG region, but I'm not sure what other folks are thinking. If you had a chance to talk to your planners, I like the idea conceptually. I just don't know what that might look like and what that product might be that would be worthwhile for our planners. So I'm gonna open it up to folks what their thoughts are. Buddy, John.
Model regulations would be ideal.
Is there a thought that it'd be anything different for, say, a medium-sized community versus a small community? Or do you think there'd be kind of universal that could be adopted in as you say, modified to the local conditions, if you will?
I think size may not matter as much as... for lack of a better term, aesthetics, kind of like in a downtown business area of a historic nature, some of the more decorative designs and areas where there's sidewalks versus not sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
I worry about people hitting their heads on those stupid boxes hanging off of poles while they're riding their bikes.
Yeah, and then just the visual clutter is what I've heard from
model folks. Model regs could be for commercial urban area with street traffic, kind of some guidelines, and you could like pick and choose what works the best. But I think the safety and the visual impact matters in some locations more than others.
What other folks think? We think it'd be something that we want to pursue and maybe get together a variety of town planners and some of us maybe to work as a task team over that as we look forward to. Part of this could be, I know Pauline, you and I have talked briefly about work plan for the upcoming fiscal year. This could be one of those items that get placed onto that work overall work plan. But I see a few heads nodding. Folks have any?
We talked to the Office of Broadband Coordinator to write them.
Anybody have any significant objections to kind of outlining a project along this line and see what it would take? I'm not sure, Pauline and Tim, what kind of resources it would take effort it would take to resource something like this. I guess we'd have to look at that. Always being cognizant of what we're putting on your plate and what you guys already have on your plate.
I'll get together with the planning group and see. I think a lot of it is going to be coordination, right, of the towns and just meeting and trying to agree on this is ideal for, maybe a division of, commercial versus urban versus rural areas of what it should look like or what or not what it should look like, but just, here are some options for towns to be able to adopt.
But I think the sections like definitions, those would be applicable for all. Mm-hmm. You can spend a lot of time writing definitions or stealing them from some other town or state.
Stealing them sounds good to me.
Yeah, I wasn't here for the presentation last month, but did they go into a lot of detail about the model regulation, the model ordinance that they put together?
No, not in detail, Tim. They kind of spoke at a 30,000 foot level.
Okay, because it's a fairly comprehensive document. It's actually, I was reading through it today because I hadn't read through it before. I'd read through the report, but it's about a 47 page ordinance. It's got a lot of language in there. And actually the definitions, we could steal the definitions from there because they have a lot of good definitions. But it does talk about a lot of the issues. So I think there's probably a lot of content that we could cull from that particular document. And maybe it needs to get pared down because 47 page ordinance is a pretty long ordinance for a lot of the towns to adopt and really mm-hmm. understand. So maybe there's we could look into it and pull out different sections that, maybe of interest to particular towns, if they don't want to adopt the whole thing, have little subsets that we could come up with.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
I like that. Maybe, I guess I'd like to leave it up to Pauline and Tim to maybe have some conversations with some of the planners in the region to see how they might attack this, if you will, and not just to be simply totally on Krog's back, but I think it's worthwhile to go down this path of giving those at least a template. To be able for communities to start from.
Absolutely. We're used to herding the cats, so we can do that.
Well, great.
Is that herding with a H-U-R-T? Or?
All righty. All right, great. Anybody else have any other thoughts on in terms of the 5G model ordinance?
Hey, Peter, I want to know which airport Tim is working at today.
And it looks foggy there, though.
I know.
There's some ground clutter.
Yeah, the visibility is terrible here at Tallinn International Airport. So,
I believe Tim is right down the street from Mike.
I am, yeah.
Down the street. So anyone want to... Side uh, re- step aside for a second and know a historical fact that in 1961, they proposed to move Bradley Airport to Bread Milk Street in Coventry.
Wow. Really?
I have the plans in our vault. Wow.
How much earth moving would they had to have done, John, to get flatten
up? Dead flat.
Is there enough room there that would be in that part of town?
Yeah, there's actually an airport there that hasn't had a plane land on it for about 25 years, but except the plane that missed it and pilot died, but different story. But it's an interesting plan, and instead they expanded Bradley.
Right.
World would have been different.
Didn't yes, it would have been. I would have gotten less complaints of the from the airplane landing pattern, I can tell you that. All righty, number four, potential regional affordable housing plan. So several meetings ago, we had a conversation about the state's requirement for affordable housing plans to be developed. And so Pauline and Tim, I'm not sure who might be leading this, but I think it's probably very similar in nature to the third, to the item we just discussed. So I'm going to hand it over to you, Pauline, and take the ball.
Yeah, so I know that there's some towns that don't need a affordable housing plan because they already have one. Since it's a lot of some of the COGs are doing a regional one, much like the natural hazard mitigation plan, where there's a regional plan and then there's annexes that are town specific, so that towns still have to pass it individually, but it makes it sort of a group effort as opposed to each town developing their own or having their own. And because we knew that some of the COGs, other COGs were doing it, I was just floating it to see if this would be of interest to our groups.
Thoughts, responses, initial ideas?
I'll go, Pete. So Mike Rosen from Tallinn. I'll just mention, so we're one of the communities that has a pretty low percentage of affordable housing, somewhere around 3%, just because we're like 95% single family home ownership in town. But in the 2019 POCD update that they did here, which predates me by about 6 months, they did have a couple of sections in the POCD related to affordable housing. So I'm hearing that we may have already satisfied our criteria because the POCD was passed by public hearing and by the P&Z Commission. So I think we actually might be all set with that. But if I wasn't in that situation, I certainly would be interested, yes. Because I think it's something that, especially Eastern Connecticut, we're in this same boat as Tallinn is, mostly home ownership and not so many multifamily apartment style houses, like where I come from in New York City, that was the norm where I grew up.
So from my perspective, I was wondering if there's any function CROG could play in data collection for either on a regional and then a sub-regional basis, something along that line, because we're all going to have to collect a bunch of data. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if that might be a role.
Doesn't the housing partnership already have a lot of that data available?
I would imagine, John, I imagine that would be one of the spots I would go to, yeah.
They do, and then they also came up with the Department of Housing has like a data portal that they put together that has some housing profiles by town.
I've seen those.
So I can provide some of those resources as well. We actually spoke with Melissa Kaplan Macy from the Regional Plan Association, who put together the guidebook on affordable housing plans. And we spoke with somebody from the Department of Housing as well. And what they suggested was a good role that the COG could play would be doing sort of a regional analysis of affordable housing that could inform the individual town plans. They did say that they weren't so sure that a regional plan per se would be the right way to go, because the affordable housing question is sort of an individual town discussion that needs to happen, and that each town is going to approach it differently. And so that, you know, regardless of what happens at the regional level, the individual towns are going to have to figure out how they want to approach the actual implementation side of things, but that the analysis could be a regional analysis. So I think that data collection and analysis aspect would be something that CROG could take on fairly easily.
I would just say on Mansfield's behalf, I would kind of echo that we're in the process of working on an affordable housing plan right now with a consulting group. It just launched a couple months ago, basically right around the time I started. And so I haven't had a chance to talk with our director of community development about this possibility, but I suspect based on other conversations I've been party to that, you know, our regional data collection, data analysis hub would be well received. But I think trying to, at this point, given where we are in process, kind of glomming onto like our regional approach probably would be tough to do.
You're just going to be able to blame UConn for suing you for stopping all the apartments.
I had to go there, John. We had this good thing going and you just kind of...
Sorry.
Yeah. This week on the People's Court, we have a nice town and UConn.
So we, unlike Talland, adopted our plan of conservation and development and kind of tweaked a little bit the housing component, but that's our next list. We didn't want to hold up our plan. So we're in the process of doing it now. And looking back at our IHC stuff that we had to do the last housing go round that they made us all do these things and then shelved them and actually lost our grant application. And I think all of this may end up being moot by the end of this legislative session anyway.
And Ken, we applied for a grant and with the proceeds hired a consultant. The consultant's in the process of drafting a plan. I think they're in the beginning stages, but you know, within another 6 months, I think we'll probably have one.
Okay, John, we're in the same boat as Canton. We have a grant and we're working with a consultant, and we had our first interaction between the consultant and the commission, I think last week. So we're very beginning, but I do think a kind of regional analysis would be very helpful to us.
Okay.
Hey, Grace or Bob, who might you folks be using for consulting, if you don't mind?
When we hired them, they were called CHA, but I think we've since assigned the contract to, they started a new company. I don't remember what it's called though.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'd have to check with land use. I don't remember what the company name was.
Okay.
Mansfield's in the same boat with the previously CHA folks that have branched off.
Okay. So with CHA, was that Clough Harbor?
Yes.
At one point. Okay. Sounds like there's some consensus about maybe a regional data collection or profile on a regional basis. The housing partnership information, I forgot about that, John. Thanks for mentioning it. That's some pretty good data on a town by town basis, with some comparative information to on a state basis. So I guess we'll leave that up to Tim and Pauline to see if there's a ability to do kind of a profile, how you might want to approach that.
Sounds like there's
plenty of information out there. It's a matter of how do you package it, sounds like.
Yeah, we've actually already started the exercise of gathering a lot of the data that's mentioned in that guidebook and putting it into a database so that we can generate some like town by town profiles. At least of the materials that they recommend that you include.
Excellent.
Good. Great.
Okay.
Status reports from staff. Pauline's going to share a screen.
Am I sharing my screen? There was one time when I was in a meeting when I thought I was sharing my screen and I wasn't. It was kind of embarrassing. If anybody has any questions, I think the status reports we sent out prior to the meeting on the long-term recovery, the CRPC activities, cybersecurity, HR portal, GIS. I mean, I think you all are familiar with the different things that we're doing we're happy to answer any questions that people might have. I will say I attended the MIRA meeting today, and I don't know if people want if people were able to make it or if people are interested in an update on that.
I'm not sure how many folks are able to listen in. Is there any high points from that? But if everyone else listened in, I'll get caught up later on. I had a staff member, but I'm not sure.
I think the major thing is tip fees are going up to 105 for FY22, a ton, and yep. Recycling is still free. And Commissioner Dykes also presented there. And there's no, starting in FY23 through 27 to the end of the contract, they'll be basically landfilling in Virginia and Ohio. That's the plan.
Did they talk about the ability to use the Hartford site for as a transfer station, or the inability to?
That was not addressed by either party.
Okay.
They did announce that they're working with USA Hauling, whatever their name is this year, to build a new plant. Have contracted it out and are shutting down the recycling.
Right.
Because I was involved in a conversation with a few area towns in the city of Hartford, and Hartford was very adamant that the location in Hartford was not going to become an MSW transfer station, and that they were going to argue very strongly with DEP to prohibit a transfer station to operate there, to be permitted and operated. So for MSW.
I think what the default might be is that a lot of the MIRA towns are already go to a transfer station, like in Waterbury and different places. So the Hartford area towns might have to end up going to one of those other transfer stations. I think that might be the default at this point. It was not addressed. To answer your question, it was not addressed.
Doesn't Ellington still have one?
Yes, but it's not open at this time.
Surprise.
All righty, so $105 a ton. That's pretty stout. We haven't seen those numbers approaching that for a long, long time.
Tom Kirk was fairly certain that starting in fiscal year 23, it would be at that price point, or slightly around that price point as well, or maybe a little bit lower, because landfilling is actually cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, the alternative is if energy prices suddenly go through the roof, then, you know, it becomes more viable, but it's not going to. So we experienced the benefit of that with the electricity auction we did a couple months ago. So, you know, give and take. So,
okay. All right. Anybody have any questions on any of the status reports or any of the work products? All right. Don't see anybody. So next item was kind of information sharing. Go ahead, Pauline.
Oh, I do have one thing. We're planning our annual meeting in June, for June 2nd. And one of the themes for that is rising to the challenge. And we were going to do a short video on what towns did to rise to the challenge, or planning on doing to rise to the challenge of for COVID for this past year and this, you know, in this coming year as well. You know, different things like right now my mind is totally blank in terms of
surviving. How's that?
surviving the past 12 months, but also, you know, we've adjusted how we do business across the board, you know, even virtual meetings, the way we do voting, the way, you know, just the Uber for to vaccination sites, or you know, there's been a lot of things that we've pivoted as a result of that, and we were going to try to capture that in a 2 to 3 minute video. So if anybody has any ideas to put into that, or you want to showcase something that your town has done, please let me or Kim or Aaliyah know. Aaliyah is actually the one who's going to be putting together the video. So just so that we can, talk about that.
Great. Well, there's plenty of great examples that we've all done. So good luck editing that, Aaliyah. So I just wanted to raise, because I have a lot of questions about the American Rescue Plan. And I know there's probably more questions than answers at this point, but I thought I'd just kind of open it up to see what some of you folks are, your early thinking it is regarding how you might determine uses of those funds, either from a process perspective or if you've already done so, what some of the areas that you're looking at. So I've been trying to glean some things. ICMA has sent out an interesting update or recap of the overall bill or uses of funds. So I don't know, what are folks thinking about at this point in time in terms of approaching that, tying it to and how you're going to tie it back to which seem like very broad areas that they've done. So what are you thinking, John? How many dollars have you already committed?
About 5 million. So first off, we're going to make ourselves whole. Our rec department has been hemorrhaging money because we're on a fee for service basis and there's been no fees coming in. Yep. And I didn't lay the employees off because then I couldn't start up again. So that would be taking probably almost, a whole bunch of money. Yep. to get out of that. I'm also looking at, we brought on our FinTech staffing for ambulance. We went 24/7. So I'm looking at making that whole. I'm looking at the amount of police overtime that I'm over budget. So part of what we're looking at is making especially our special revenue funds whole, where there's a relationship to COVID expenses or changes, premium pay, for police in particular. Then I'm moving on to what we're going to do with the real money. I'm also, and some people already know, I've reached out to members of our health district to see whether we want to work with our health district to make sure that they're whole in terms of a lot of restaurant permits weren't being paid. And one idea was that to send a message, we could pay everyone for a year or two of their restaurants and nail salon licenses. Which would help the health district be made whole, but also send a message to those businesses that we know you struggled, and it may be too token and we may need to do more. But I need to work on our schools' ventilation, which is where the real money is going. All our schools were built in kind of the 60s and on. They all have unit ventilators, which have zero filtering. They're very loud. They don't meet ANSI noise standards. So I'm talking about adding ductworks to our schools. Mm-hmm. And then that raises that, and are you doing air conditioning while you're there, or are you making it suitable for air conditioning? So we had already had about $1 million set aside for that. I think we're going to put in a lot of money into that to make our schools safe. And I think the Board of Ed money, besides some catch up and summer education, may also help to go towards that, those projects. So it goes pretty fast actually for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got mine spent allocated three times. So I appreciate how fast it goes.
And maybe I'll run, connect my sewer system to Wyndham. That's only 10 million because our plan is at capacity.
Yeah. What are some other folks thinking of that might be a little bit different than what what John had outlined. Just Mark.
Yeah. Does anyone know if, like right now, I'm looking to do splits in the town hall to get rid of the window air conditioners. So that is, we haven't put it out to bid yet. Are they going to require us to have these like shovel ready, already planned? Or can we say, all right, we have the money, we're going to use it for this and then go get the bids and plan it?
As I understand it, you're going to get the two different tranches of funds, and that you have until 2024, end of calendar year 24, to spend those. So I think you have some flexibility. I think you get half of the dollars in the first 12. Within 60 days, 90 days, and then the second tranche will be after the, you know, 1 year later. The questions that I have had that I can't seem to find an answer on is the whole, is it Davis-Bacon? Is there going to be, you know, Buy America? Those are the things that I've been trying to figure out. And I haven't been able to find anything. Now, granted, I haven't read 623 pages. So,
yeah. Well, I think when the Treasury report stuff comes out in 60 days or so, it's all going to be in there, which is going to raise the price of anything you do dramatically.
Right. Well, what about like with FEMA? I remember, you know, everything we put in for COVID, they denied. You know, plexiglass, no. Tables, no. You know, practically everything got denied from FEMA. So I didn't know if this would be down that stupid rabbit hole as well.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm hoping it is, and I'm hoping it's like the old fashioned block grant from. But
I think it's going to be much more broader. And I think it's going to be more self-certification, and the reality of the Treasury Department being able to really audit this, except for the really abusive fraud cases, I think it's going to be minimal.
That's what I would. So the one area that I was looking at is potentially providing some assistance to making some of our civic organizations whole. So much of our high school scholarship and so many other programs get, you know, our ambulance gets funded in part through some of our local civic groups. So I was looking at potentially coming up with some kind of policy parameters where they could show where they've lost revenue, the ability to raise revenue in the last year, and provide at least some ability, maybe not make them fully whole, but so that's one thing. Nonprofit / civic organizations, was one area. We've got a big push here to try to help some of our small businesses. And so I'm trying to figure out what else in this big package, and is the state going to put more money towards business grants or low interest loans? And so we wouldn't have to necessarily allocate some of the local dollars to that, but that's a big question mark that I have in my mind.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, actually, I was saying Mansfield. I came from Enfield. I'm not there anymore. In Mansfield, we've been talking about low interest loans or loans with principal forgiveness and grants, but we're also speculating on, and it's kind of six of one, half a dozen of the other, I guess, but in terms of how the business community is concerned, we were talking about, it seems clear that you can't use these funds to sort of artificially, reduce your tax rate, but if your tax rate remains unaffected, can you use these funds to broaden or expand the sorts of abatements or exemptions that you're providing to the business community? So you're offering them a credit back against their full tax bill. I know, like John said, obviously Treasury guidance is going to answer all these questions, but I don't know if that's been tossed around at all or not, or summarily shot down.
Good question. Has anybody heard is when the Treasury may provide additional guidance?
57 more days.
I hearken back to the opportunity zones and how we waited and waited and waited. Those who had opportunity zones, and I think we waited 9 months to get the first tranche of regulations. So anybody else, Melissa, you were going to mention something, I think?
Yeah, a little different idea, and I have no idea if this would even be allowed, but one of our selectmen had an interesting idea. If we could take some of the funds and set up basically a trust for our food programs, because that was one of the biggest needs that really came up during the course of the past year through, you know, our social services, food distribution programs, and the increased need there. And if we could do something more, you know, long-term around that, but again, no idea if that would even be allowed. Just thought that was a creative, interesting thought.
All right. Thank you. One area that I'm going to look at is the long-term recovery plan. I got to dig that out from what Krog in the region has been looking at and see if there's any way to tie into that to help bolster that effort. We're also looking at a chunk of money potentially to put towards quote unquote community health and wellness, which was probably try to, in addition to shoring up our user fees or special revenue accounts like John mentioned, but also try to provide some different community health and wellness programs through our health and recreation departments. And so try to do something that might get at, you know, some prevention, you know, through our, you know, courses and programs that we might offer through recreation and our own health department.
Peter,
John?
I have two more thoughts. One on that, I'm going to be talking with our superintendent to see whether our summer camp programs could have some educational component, which might be able to tie into the catch-up provisions, catch-up on education. Because I think they're going to be running their own programs, but you know, we may be able to tie in some type of advancement in our summer camp program too.
Yeah.
Secondly, I'm wondering whether towns might want to consider sharing some money maybe with CROG to update our GIS capabilities for economic recovery, especially getting an online, and maybe you have this and I'm not aware of it, but the ESRI data for demographic and marketing and real estate and the mapping that goes along with that. It's pretty powerful economic development data that you can give to firms to locate their businesses, you know, tell you where you have leakage for retail markets, all those things. You know, you can buy individual reports, but if CROG had a license for that we could tap into or have our businesses tap into, or there's some third-party vendors which take that data and make it available for online purposes for economic development. And, you know, maybe we could get a group license for that. But I think there's a lot of power in that data to find market niches and capabilities for development. And that sometimes can help them get loans and other things when you can prove the market's there.
Yeah.
But I think if every town does it on its own, it'll be much more costly than looking at some collaborative effort that would tie in with the GIS system.
Interesting thought. So one of the, that spurred a thought in my mind, has anybody heard if, I guess there's monies that are supposed to be coming to counties, and since Connecticut is a state without counties, has there been a determination on those funds? Are they, they're supposed to be distributed, I think, on a per capita, but have you guys heard, John, I see you raising your hand. Have you heard anything?
Yeah, Congressman Courtney's office has said per capita. So I came up with, you know, ours just by Googling the population of Tallinn County, dividing it into the amount of money that Courtney said the county's getting and multiplying it by my population. So I'm actually getting more money on a county basis than I am directly. So it's a boatload of money.
So I guess that was a question that I've been, is that on top of the money you get, or is either or?
Both.
Both.
And I don't know why the state hasn't been able to, you know, do complex math like divide by population, multiply by town. Seems pretty easy, but that's what they're talking about.
Oh, I was thinking the way they're going to somehow be able to, I was wondering if that some of those funds might be distributed. There'd be some flexibility and some of those might go to on a COG basis.
So there was some discussion about the COGs being considered as counties on for some of that money, but I don't know what the conclusion to that was because the county equivalency
wasn't in effect yet.
Yeah, it's not in effect yet. So
got it.
But I did hear from I can't remember who one of the delegation's offices saying that was in there in some form, but I'm not sure if it actually ended up in there in the final form. And Roby, I have not read the 600 plus pages either.
Yeah. So, well, it certainly is an opportunity that we, many of us have never seen in our time. So it's, you know, I like the idea of being able to, if there's flexibility to be able to, some of those monies be able to be looked at either on a full regional basis or a sub-regional basis. I think that's, you know, to advance some of the things that we've been working on, you know, long and hard here at Krogs. So
I think it would be make it better because anytime you buy that software, if you have somebody that can help you use it,
yep.
you know, that's where the money is. That's where the value is.
Yep.
I think we ought to have a working group, whether it's this group or if there's a GIS committee that could work on it. But I think, you know, towns are spending the money and before they spend it twice, I think we ought to kind of have a concept plan. But I think it clearly meets the economic recovery portions of the act.
Mm-hmm. What do folks think, how it's something that subgroup of this or maybe getting a thought back from Tim from your group on how, you know, kind of John's idea or other ideas that might be able to.
I know we've been in talks with Esri about acquiring some additional extensions to our license, so I don't see why. Yeah, we could throw this in there and see what the cost is.
I just thought of it. Is there anything on in terms of the scenario software that Krog acquired that could be any gaps there or needs there? Or I know that's a tool that I know you guys are still getting used to, you know, kind of getting how to ride that horse, but that might be something else from economic development and planning for, you know, recovery.
Yeah, right now we're still in the process of getting all the data together that we need to set up the scenario planning system. And we're doing most of that in-house. We've got a pretty good way to do some of it. Actually, a lot of it is a couple extra GIS things that we need to get to make that work. But I don't think right now there's anything on that front that we could use. It's a good thought though.
Okay.
Great. I just forwarded to Pauline a company called Townfolio, which is using pretty sure the Esri data has 30 data sets and automatically updates it. You can embed it into your web chart, into your web page, so that people can do their own stuff. But, you know, there's a bunch of companies, but this one happened to hit us and we were looking at it.
Great.
Okay. You know, anybody? The other thing is that depending on the cost of initial licensing for the data, there's also the regional program fund that the Krog Policy Board set up a long time ago with local funds that might be a source as well for that kind of licensing.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, folks, for sharing your ideas and, you know, I guess we'll find out a little bit more as we move through the next 30 plus days or so. Hopefully understand a little more what the strings are. Hopefully they're not very many strings with these dollars. And does anybody recall off the top of your head, do the schools have longer than 2024 to spend their funds? For some reason, I want to say they had 5 years. Does that ring a bell with anybody? Because schools are getting, at least Windsor schools are getting a ton of money. I'm not sure how they're going to actually get it out the door without hiring a full-time people, which they don't want to because they know they're going to go away. But so, all righty. If there's nothing else on that, anything else on information sharing? Everyone's budget's going great.
Sure.
Good. It's crazy. We have all this money. We still can't do what some of our elected officials want to do. I know that. So, all right. If there's nothing else, and I think we're in a position of adjourning.
So moved.
All righty, Martin. We got that. So we are adjourned at 12:47.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.